So we've been, as many of you know, moving through the Bible. Now we've been doing this preaching series that's been sort of hitting on the highlights of the Old Testament. So today, the last couple of weeks, we've talked about the creation stories, and today I want to talk a little bit and briefly about the fall, the original sin of Adam and Eve. And it's important for us to understand this because the rest of the Bible, the rest of salvation history, is God working exactly to undo the fall and even to outdo the fall, to not just restore what was lost, but to even go beyond what was lost. So in the fall of Adam and Eve and the original sin, we see a profound rupture of relationship, a breaking of relationship. A rupture in a relationship with God, a rupture in relationship with each other, a rupture in relationship within ourselves, and a rupture in relationship with all of creation. And while I could give a whole series of talks on the fall, I could give an hour talk on each of these. So, brace yourself for a 4-hour sermon. Just kidding. I just want to talk briefly on the first three. The rupture of relationship with God, with others, and with self. So first of all, the rupture of relationship with God. So many of us probably remember from Sunday school or catechism classes the story of the fall, of the original sin. That God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of the fruit of that tree over there. All the rest you can eat. And what they do, they ate of the fruit of that tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they did. But this fall isn't just about Adam and Eve breaking a rule, and so now all the rest of us are in a big mess because they broke one single rule. It's something much more profound than that. Of course, in the story, the serpent says to Eve, did God really tell you not to eat of that tree? She said, yes. She said, we can eat of all the trees, but don't eat of that one, because if we eat it, we'll die. And the serpent says, ah, you won't die. God knows well that if you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, that you will be like gods who know good and evil. So what's really happening here? That the serpent is calling into question for them the goodness of God. The goodness of God. That maybe God is deceiving them. Maybe God's being deceptive. And the question arises in Adam and Eve's hearts and in all of our hearts from the effects of the fall. Is God really good? Does God really care for me and love me? Does he really have my best interest in mind? Maybe God is withholding something. So with this idea that maybe somehow that God is in competition with me, that I'm in competition with God, that the more God has, the less I have. And vice versa. So I need to reach out and seize for myself what I can get. And then this idea of for ourselves deciding what is good and what is evil. The knowledge of good and evil. We live in a world today where right and wrong is whatever I make it. Whatever I decide is right and wrong. And that at the end of the day, there is no objective right and wrong, says our culture. But this leads to disaster. And of course, to decide to live without God and try and make our own right and wrong, we ultimately fall into sin. And to live at all without God is death. So we just got through this story, talking about the story of creation, that God is the source of all life. So if we're to cut ourselves off from the source of all life, the only alternative is death. So, and that leads us, of course, into a rupture in relationship with each other as well. I already mentioned a bit now how it ruptures relationship with God, but also with each other. Adam and Eve, before the fall, Genesis says that they were naked without shame. But this is not so much about the state of their clothing, but rather about their ability of total and complete trust with each other. Their ability to be totally vulnerable with each other, with the perfect love and trust that the other person would not wound me in my vulnerability, would not use or abuse me for my own ends, or would not lash out and inflict pain on me. But now, after the fall, all of a sudden they are afraid of each other in a way. The fear that The other might use me. The other might abuse me. The other might inflict me, inflict pain on me in my vulnerability. And that not only am I in competition with God, but all of a sudden, well, the more this other person has, the less I have. So I need to reach out and seize for myself. And you see it if you read the account of the fall. Everyone starts blaming each other. They start pointing to the other and throwing each other under the bus. And of course, I could say so much of how all this plays out in various ways in relationships, in all kinds of relationships, in marriages, in romantic relationships, in friendships, in family relationships, that we do sometimes use each other for our own ends. We do hurt people when they're vulnerable, whether intentionally or not. And that often we operate out of our own fears and insecurities rather than looking out for the needs and goods of others, out of genuine love for others. Which brings me to the third point, the rupture in relationship within ourselves. That many of us probably are aware of our own fallenness within, have an awareness of our own brokenness within. That we have many questions and fears and insecurities that many times we're operating and living out of. And we wrestle with those deep questions of life. Am I loved? Am I even worth loving? Does my life have meaning? Does my suffering have meaning? And that sometimes we just have this sense of this deep and quiet feeling of despair or desperation that we don't really know how to articulate. And that sometimes some people, or perhaps some of us, we may look at our lives and objectively everything seems good. We have a home, we have a place to live, sleep, eat, we have a good family, but that something still just seems wrong within. That there's still this insecurity, the sense of desperation, and we wonder why. Why am I not happy? And then we feel even worse because we feel like we should be happy. Where does this come from? Well, ultimately, the result of the fall, of us being in a ruptured relationship, that we look to fulfill something deep within us apart from God and without God. We try to satisfy that void within us apart and without God that only God can fill. That many times some of us, and I'm guilty of this at times too, that many times we're willing to take God along for the ride, but once we get in a comfortable place, we just want God to stay where he is, to stay put. That we want to give God just enough to appease him until we're in a comfortable place and then say, all right, God, now you stay there and I'll stay here and we'll all be good. Just be comfortable as long as God just leaves us alone. But of course, many of us probably know, at least intellectually, that God doesn't just want a portion or his portion, but God wants it all. Not because he's selfish, but ultimately because he desires us, our hearts, the whole of our being, given back to him as a free gift. Though sometimes we ask, well, isn't God then selfish and egotistical if he just wants to take back everything we have? But that's exactly the fall talking. The fear of the fall, that somehow God isn't good. But for us is to realize that all is gift. That everything we have is gift. And to give it all over to God is not our loss, but ultimately our greatest gain. Because ultimately God is the greatest of all gains. That the greatest gift that God can and desires to give us is the very gift of himself. The total, absolute gift of God's very self. So that brings us to the gospel that we hear today. We hear the man approach Jesus and fall down before him and ask him this question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? But eternal life, ultimately, is to be with God for all eternity. Sometimes we forget that. That God's going to be there in eternal life too. So what does Jesus tell him, of course? Go sell what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. Why? Why is this Jesus' response? Because ultimately, at the end of the day, nothing else in this world will satisfy. Through the brokenness of the fall, we think it will. We reach for other things that we think will fulfill us, will make us happy. But at the end of the day, to make anything else our God besides the living and true God himself, well, that's idolatry. But Jesus says, sell all you have and come and follow me, because that is the ultimate gift, to be with the living God himself, that this is the greatest of all goods, that he wants us to realize that he alone is worth possessing, that God alone is worth having, and that nothing else in this world ultimately will satisfy.